Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat. Scott Porth and Brent Kuhlman, two pastors daring to be Lutheran, daring to talk about marriage in the sense of holy marriage.
Yeah, that's daring. We've lost that language, haven't we? Holy marriage.
Well, and I hope the folks, you know, as they've been listening to us speak about marriage, Brent, that they're seeing the emphasis there on holy marriage. You know, marriage in the eyes of the world and marriage as God has ordained and given it do not always see eye to eye.
Yeah, if it's holy, it belongs to the Lord, and He gives it as gift. And that just is so opposite the way Americans think. Americans think of marriage as something that belongs to me. And since it belongs to me, I can do whatever I want in it, with it, or without it.
And the point of making these distinctions, folks, isn't to say, ha, 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 we're right, you're wrong kind of a thing. But rather, here is this gift from God, and it is for your good that you understand the gift and receive it as intended.
That's right. The Lord redeemed you, and one of the reasons why He redeemed you is to have good use for you in the vocation of husband or wife, and then mother and father. So that there can be some good done in this wrecked world, you know?
Yeah, the benefits of marriage.
Well,
we're not just talking tax deductions and so forth, right?
Yeah, and then again, this is one of the first things that God institutes in creation from the very beginning.
Right.
That takes us to the gospel reading, or the third reading in the marriage rite. I think we're about ready for that, aren't we?
Right, we've been walking through the marriage rite, if you haven't listened in the past weeks, and we've gone through most of the scripture readings, but now we come to the third one, or the gospel reading. And the rite provides a reading from both Matthew 19 and also from Mark 10.
Yeah.
So let's look at that first one in Matthew 19.
And this is why we go to a wedding service, to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
To repeat.
Yes.
You go to the wedding service to hear what God says about marriage. See, He's got something on His mind about marriage.
I thought I'd just go to check out the bridesmaids' dresses and get ideas for my wedding.
Well, you can. You certainly can. That's all right to do those kinds of things. But if that's the only thing you go for.
That's not the main thing.
Yeah, that's right. The main thing, the most important thing, is to hear the word of God.
The thing that holies it is God Himself.
So Matthew 19, and what's interesting is the verses that are listed are 4 through 6. And so Jesus encounters the Pharisees, and they're always looking for loopholes and things. And so they say, this isn't in the rite, but I'm going to give the background. The Pharisees ask Jesus if they can divorce their wife for any or every reason. Because in Jesus' day, if your wife burnt your toast in the morning for breakfast, he could legally, like in America, no fault. I mean, I don't even think a judge in America would allow you to divorce your wife if she burnt your toast, but in Jesus' day, you could. I mean, you want to talk about out, no-faulting divorce, no-fault divorce, it was done. And so, you know, they look for a loophole. So, can we divorce our wife for any and every reason?
That's the question. That's the test.
And then these words,
right?
Jesus answers.
That's what the text says. They're testing Him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I always like to point out, that's the same word for tempt in the Greek. It's the pyrazo word.
And very interesting here, too, I think, in connection then with Genesis 3. Who now are the instruments of Satan? Because Satan goes to tempt Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 to say, oh, God's a liar with regard to all this stuff. You can preach your own words.
Well, and Satan shows up early in Jesus' public ministry to tempt Him. And then he leaves Him until an opportune time. Well, I would suggest this is another opportune time.
Right.
And the devil comes to them, well, using his instruments. Yeah. Now these pious religious leaders, the Pharisees.
Oh, and they're dripping with piety. Drip with it. Yeah, but seriously, folks, watch out for the people who just drip with piety. Oh, watch out for those people. In any event, here's his answer. Have you not read? In other words, I'll paraphrase, read your Bible.
Yep.
So have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife and they shall become one flesh? So he quotes Genesis. He quotes the beginning.
Yeah, the words of institution for holy marriage,
right.
if you will.
That is exactly right. I love the way you just said that. Because if you're going to talk about marriage, you better go back to the way the Lord instituted it. Same thing if you're going to talk about what is baptism? What is the Lord's Supper? What's the office of the ministry? You go to the words of institution.
Yeah, which is that word of God.
Yeah. So well, that's what Jesus does.
And folks, and we're a little bit disjointed here because...
What?
Well...
He's looking at me when he says
that. We are totally disjointed here, as is the norm. No. in previous shows here, you heard these same words from Genesis, as you point out, but you also heard these words in the epistle reading, or the second reading from Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
In other words, these words of institution are repeated in all three of the scripture readings for the rite of holy marriage.
Thus the guts of the wedding ceremony.
Emphasis, emphasis, emphasis.
The word of God.
By sake of repetition.
Yep. So Jesus says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then he says, and this is authoritative because he is God in the flesh, and he speaks it categorically. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, Mark, in the reading from Mark's gospel, let's read that real quickly. Jesus left there, went to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. Pharisees come up in order to test him, and they ask, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. Oh, gotcha there, Jesus. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So we've got a loophole. Moses let him do it. He was a permission-giving pastor. Moses let them do it. So they think they've got Jesus on this. Now listen to what he says. Because of the hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Now notice that. That's very interesting. When they quote Moses, Jesus says, well, I'll tell you why he wrote this. It's because of your sin.
Right.
But this is not the way God intended it.
So with this loophole, they're looking for a way to divorce without any sin in God's eyes. And they think they have it. They have the what Moses has declared. And Jesus won't let him get away with it.
That's right. Because you're a sinner.
Where there's divorce, there's sin.
So the whole reason why there's divorce is not because God wills it. Marriages are not to be dissolved because God wills it. Jesus says it's because of the hardness of your heart.
Right.
Moses had to deal with sinners.
God never desires divorce. And so what God has joined together, when it is separated, it's man's sin that separates.
And by the way, you know, divorce is like doing surgery with a butter knife.
Mm-hmm.
It just is, it's disastrous. But let's get back to the text here. So because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife. They will become one flesh, no longer two, but one flesh. And again, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So you go to the service to hear this word, that God's intention is for the male and the female to become one flesh in holy marriage and to live together as husband and wife. And nothing should tear that apart. Now, what does tear marriages apart? Our sin.
Right.
Why is there divorce? Our sin.
Always. Even when a marriage is ripped apart by death, that's the result of man's sin. Right? Where does death come from? It comes from man's sin.
Yeah.
But prior to death, when man separates, he's taking what God has joined together. He's taking this good created order that God has given, and man throws the chaos of his sin into it. And all kinds of chaos ensues.
So you hear this text from either Matthew 19 or Mark 10. And the point is from the beginning, this is how God has made it. This is how he's instituted it for your good. For your good. And so we are to trust that. Christians are given to trust that. And so Christian marriages... Christian married couples, then, are like object lessons for the world to exhibit what marriage has always been intended to be like from the beginning. This is a good thing.
We, when looked at the Ephesians, you know, we talked about how this is a very picture of Christ and his bride, the church. And so the God joining together the male and the female, the man and the woman as husband and wife, this shows forth to the world the relationship of Christ and his bride, the church.
Right.
And it's interesting then when you get the language of the end and the marriage feast. Notice heaven is described in those terms as well. This ongoing reflection of the relationship between God and his people.
You get a picture of that too in John 2 with our Lord's first miracle of turning the water into wine at the wedding at Cana. This is also one of the readings that is sometimes used for weddings. Mm-hmm. Jesus blesses the wedding with his presence. It's a good thing. He doesn't despise it.
No, no. You know, this from the beginning language, I can see that some people might say, yeah, that's an old thing. Marriage as you're teaching it here, that's so old-fashioned, you know. That's not the intent here of saying from the beginning. It's what God has created and for the entirety of time until the last day, this is how it is to be.
Yeah, and it's just not just for Christians, but for all people.
Right. Just as in the beginning he said, let there be light, and there was light forever for all, so also these words concerning holy marriage.
Right.
So this is his good creation, his good institution for all people of all times.
That's right. That's right. And it keeps society, to use, for lack of better terminology, glued together. It is the foundation of society. And we are simply, this is one of the sad things that's happening in our world, is when marriages and families break down, it's no wonder we're in on the edge of total chaos.
Well, you know, the ripple effect on that. And when the marriage is not good, when the marriage is under attack, that impacts the family. When the family's under attack, then that impacts the society. You know, both in church and in the world. Once again, all of this has to do with God's good ordering and how man's sin, man's rebellion, disrupts that.
Yeah. So, again, we go to church to hear this word so that we as Christians now know what God's good use for us is in this world. We are to live as husband and wife, as mother and father, to be his instruments to create life, to sustain life, to preserve life, and to be of good in this world for the sake of other people.
You know, I'm not sure we can emphasize this enough, that what we're talking about here is a good work in God's eyes, to be the husband that God has given you to be, and to be the wife. Things related to the family often get poo-pooed. You know, that's not very glorious. That's, you know, whatnot. Just being a good husband and a good wife, taking care of your children, taking care of the family. This is good, God says.
And in these vocations, the Lord repents you, because the old Adam raises his ugly head, and we sin in these vocations. And so the Lord also blesses us in that way. So he leads us to repentance and then continues to have more good use for us as repentant believers.
On the wedding day, he gives this good gift. And the Word of God not only explains what this good gift is, you know, the pastor preaches about it and how this is to be received and lived in, if you will. And the husband and wife go out from there. And they rejoice in this good gift, and they quickly see than how they have failed.
Well, and that's why, you know, after they're united in holy marriage, then you got prayers and blessings going on. But we'll get to that in a minute. I think we're about out of time, aren't we? Where are we at?
1 minute.
1 minute. Well, after these readings, then the pastor preaches. And he preaches based on the words that you've just heard from Genesis, from Ephesians, from Matthew, Mark, or maybe even John, or maybe some other text
sure.
that applies to holy marriage. there are other passages that you can use. Like, a lot of people use the 1 Corinthians text, or the Ecclesiastes text, where you've got two is better than one, and then all of a sudden you got three.
So imagine that, you know. We have a word of God, which is read and heard, and then we got the preacher. The preacher's going to get up and say something too. Well, join us again on the other side of the break, folks.